This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. One of the thorniest issues before state lawmakers as they conclude the 2019 legislative session is a deal on taxing short-term rentals. HPR's Ryan Finnerty joins us this morning with an update.
Good morning, Catherine.
So what's the latest?
So there was one major bill concerning short-term rentals that was being considered by lawmakers this year. It might sound familiar to anyone who's been following this issue. It had two major provisions. The first and the main one was that it would require the booking platforms like Airbnb or VRBO to collect state taxes, general excise, and transient accommodation taxes. And the second that got a little bit less attention but was pretty important would have required those booking platforms to submit monthly reports to the state or the counties on how many rentals were being posted and actually purchased in each zip code throughout the state. And we'll get back to that in a minute, but that created a lot of sticking points for both sides of the issue. This was kind of similar to a bill that passed the legislature in 2016, but was vetoed by Governor David Ige. I'm sure you remember that. And at the time, he had said his intent was for them to tweak some of the language and pass it again next year. And obviously that never happened. So this bill got the closest of anything since then. And it came down to the Senate. It had passed the House and it failed on Friday in a 12-12 tie vote with one senator, Republican Kurt Favela from Eva Beach, absent. And he had expressed his opposition to the bill. Not entirely clear why he was absent. So at this point, the bill is dead. However, there is a possibility that it could be brought back. There is a rule 66 in the Senate for all the Star Wars fans out there that allows the side that prevailed in a vote to bring an issue back. So in this case, it would be the senators who voted against the bill. If one of them decides to introduce a motion to reconsider, this bill could come back. It would have to be on Thursday, which is the final day of the legislature. And one of the interesting things about it, Catherine, was that advocates on both sides of the issue opposed it. Both pro-short-term rental and anti-short-term rental advocates didn't like it. And they didn't like it for different reasons. But first, we'll hear from Philip Minardi, who is the Director of Policy Communications for Expedia Group. That's the company that owns HomeAway and VRBO. And here he is explaining why they opposed the bill.
As a platform, we are open to offering cities information in the aggregate, so giving them information about the activity that's happening from a holistic perspective. When it gets down to handing over personally identifiable information on our customers, that is something that we take incredibly serious and something that, at the end of the day, our travelers and the broader public have voiced concerns about as well. I think the message we've given to state legislators, the message we've given to city and county officials, is that we're willing to collaborate on things that help drive enforcement, that help get registration numbers up higher than they currently are. But at the end of the day, we can't infringe upon the personal and private data of our customers.
And so that was Philip Minardi from Expedia Group explaining their opposition to Senate Bill 1292. And you heard it was related to data privacy, customer privacy. We should say that the bill would have allowed these reports to be anonymous. They weren't going to list specific names or properties, but they would have had to provide by zip code information, and Expedia said that was a bridge too far for them. The bill also generated opposition from anti-short-term rental advocates here locally, and they felt that this was the legislature giving tacit approval to what is often an illegal activity. Many of these rentals, as you know, are not permitted. So here's Tyler Dos Santos Tam from the community group High Good Neighbor.
If what's reported on the transient accommodations tax, the TAT, doesn't match up with the income that's being reported on the GET side, that's a big red flag. But that, again, that only works if those two departments are talking to one another. And so that's why we need the enforcement structure to come first. For the neighbors that we represent, you know, they want to know what's going on. They want to know who they can complain to rather than calling 911 when the tourists staying next door to you are noisy. Can we know who the landlord is? Can we know that it's an actual person, not an LLC, not some voicemail box that you're going to get when you call to complain? And these are the things that I think are important and are kind of lost in this discussion when we only focus on, can the state get some money out of this? Or on the county side, what the zoning rules are going to be. These have real impacts on the neighbors, and you know, we need to consider those.
So as of right now, Catherine, that bill has failed, but we don't know. It could come back Thursday, and we likely won't know until the last minute whether or not that's going to happen. Tomorrow is a recess day, so there won't be any votes. Thursday is the final day of the legislature, and that's when something would happen if that bill were to come back.
Right, and I know our partners at Civil Beat are reporting that Senator Donovan de la Cruz has some concerns, and there's some last-minute maneuvering, and he might be horse-trading. That he wants that bill to get out.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that he would have to compel someone who voted against the bill to introduce a measure to bring it back up because, as we mentioned earlier, the Rule 66 in the Senate says the prevailing side of any vote has to be the one to bring it back up. So if that happens, we will see. We'll have to wait until Thursday. But yesterday there was action at the local level. The Honolulu City Council heard two proposals, well, several different versions of these two main proposals that would represent a pretty sweeping change in how vacation rentals are regulated on Oahu specifically. They're very thick bills. There's been a lot of changes to the originals, a lot of different provisions that are still somewhat in flux. One of the most notable ones is that rentals in outside of the resort areas, which are like Waikiki and Ko'olina, would be capped at, right now it's at half of 1% of the total housing stock of that area. There was debate between 1% and half of 1%. And that would represent a very significant decrease in what's currently out there. Here's the city's director of planning and permitting, Kathy Sokugawa, talking about that cap.
At 1% of total, which means every development plan area would have a different maximum because every development plan has different population figures. And so my remembrance was, I think it was like 27 units in the North Shore at 1%. You know, so if you want to go with one half, you know, it's less than a dozen probably.
And Sokugawa, a little bit later, walked that back and said it would actually be 70, not 27. There, she got some information from one of the staffers. But still, 70 units under this plan, 70 units on the North Shore, that's all of the North Shore Planning District, that would, the short-term rentals would be reduced to just 70. And some of those would be hosted. In most areas, it would only be hosted rentals that are allowed, so not a whole home or a whole apartment, but rooms within one of those properties. A little more flexibility in the resort areas and some of the higher density areas in the urban core where whole home rentals are allowed and more of them are allowed. There's other restrictions too about being within a certain distance of other rentals, the number of rooms within a house that can be rented, that kind of thing. This one, we don't know exactly when this is going to come up. That was the sort of the final revision was yesterday council members made. They have two final proposals now that will need to go before the full city council before either a vote up or down. That could be as soon as May 8th, which is the next meeting of the full council, but we don't know if it will be on the agenda or not.
Right, and I know there's a big question about which way Tommy Waters might vote on this because I think Trevor Ozawa has until this week, Friday, to determine if he's going to try and challenge the election results. And I know the city clerk's office says maybe the soonest Waters would be sworn in could be maybe possibly Monday, and then this would be his big vote. But we'll have to see if it gets postponed or if he votes that day.
Right, and we should say he was endorsed by some unions, which are against this, against short-term rentals. So, but we don't know which way he'll go and if he'll get to vote at all.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. And you can find all of our coverage of the various short-term rental proposals at hawaiipublicradio.org.